when we listen to Scripture, we need to try to place the meaning of what's being said into our life here and now. And most of you will be stuck at the moment, I am sure, on the gospel there, where the man was invited to the wedding, but he wasn't wearing the right thing and he was thrown out. That's probably where most of you are stuck. Correct? Yes. Yeah, good on you. Now let me see what you're wearing. I won't throw anybody out this morning. The reason why I just highlight that little bit is because Scripture, as we have it presented to us through the centuries, it was put together in its time and in its place. Matthew's Gospel was written about 45 to 50 years after Jesus died. So in that time frame, since his death to when the gospel was written, what had happened to the early Christian community, particularly Matthew's, which was very heavily Jewish converts, and some Gentiles, some non-Jews, but very heavily Jewish converts. What was happening to them impacted the way that Matthew would have put his story together. So for why I am starting with that is because it took us 300 years before we had baptism pretty much the way that we understand baptism now. So coming into the church as a member of the church. In Matthew's time and in that first era, persecution was the order of the day. So if you were going to be baptised, and that would take place on Easter Sunday morning, but it would take place just before the sun rose, so that the sun, the rising sun, was always the symbol of the resurrection, Sunday. But in Matthew's time, you could be baptised as sunrise, you'd have the white garment put over you, but you could be dead by midday. So it was done in a way that it was partly secretive, but the white garment that was put on, which we still use in baptism, was to demonstrate publicly that this person has begun a new life. However, this new life in Christ might be very, very short. So there's a connection there between the garment that is worn and what it demonstrates. And so what Matthew has done is he's inserted that later into his gospel, just to remind all of the baptized that what we wear demonstrates to the world who we are. We express by who we are the values, and we mirror the life of Jesus ourselves. So that was kind of put in there. And then I look further back into the gospel, and this is not a history lesson, it's just to make it relevant. I look back in, and the king invited everybody to his son's wedding. Very generous of him. Son probably had no say. Still happens in weddings today. However, the people who he invited, they must have already accepted the invitation, because all of the livestock that was to be prepared for the wedding banquet, the feast, that was already prepared. So he was expecting them, but they chose not to come, which is rather odd. It's a story, by the way. That's not history. This is a parable that Jesus is using. So they were invited. They received an invitation. And obviously they said yes, but they just didn't turn up. That's not good. So he then sends them out into the marketplace. Now, the marketplace were the crossroads in the town, what's called the Cardo. The Cardo is like the main aisle, and then it has a crossroad across it, which is another part of the centre. Cardo is where we get the word heart from. Cardiac arrest. That's where it comes from. So even today in Jerusalem, we can go and walk down the original Cardo. And why I'm giving you this little bit of background is because he then, we're told in the story, sent his servants out, but they were maltreated and they were even killed. The servants that were sent out actually demonstrates the prophets. The prophets who invited the people of the Jewish people to come closer to God, to come closer to the eternal banquet of God. But they killed the prophets historically. So today the servants that have gone out to extend the invitation, no, like the prophets, they are killed. So that's what Matthew is doing there. He's saying you've received an invitation. Some people don't respond. Some people say yes and they don't turn up. Some are just treated like the prophets. They're actually killed. And that's what would have been experienced in Matthew's community. And then we have the issue where the king says, I'm going to clear these people out who did that to my servants. And then we get the reference there to killed them and the burning of the town. Now, the burning of their town and their city, that is a very, very clear reference to what happened in 70 AD, which was the destruction of Jerusalem. So Titus, nephew of the emperor, stood on Mount Scopus, where some of us have been, and he plotted, how do I destroy this city? And then he kept the city in siege. Funny, what's happening in Gaza at the moment? Kept the city in siege, and then he destroyed it. Jerusalem has been destroyed 17 times and rebuilt 18 times. So by the time Matthew wrote his gospel, the temple, the city of Jerusalem as they knew it, which was magnificent, the temple was known as perhaps the greatest temple in the world at that time, they destroyed it. So that's like ripping the heart out of all the Jewish community. You can imagine if St. Peter's was being treated like Gaza is now. St. Peter's in Rome is being treated like Gaza is. It would be like ripping the heart out of Catholic Christianity. Well, that's what happened. And so there's a reference in there. It was destroyed. You received an invitation. You refused to answer the invitation. And even when it was sent to you again, you killed those who sent it to you. You will pay for this. This is not God's doing. This is man's doing. But God will let it happen. So Jerusalem is destroyed. And then we go to the crossroads where the good, the bad and the ugly met. The rich, the wealthy and the poor. They all have to go to this part to do their bits and pieces, their business and their transactions. And so that's why he says in the parable, he went to the centre place where everybody gathers and then invited everybody in, no matter what they were or who they were. And then the banquet hall was filled. But once again, don't get too distracted by the man who wasn't wearing the garment, because that's a direct reference to you want to be a Christian to Matthew's community. You want to be here, you want to be part of the celebration, then make sure that you demonstrate by everything that you say and do and who you are, that you demonstrate that you are a Christian, that you are following in the footsteps and mirroring Christ's mission. And the garment was just an allusion to that. So it all sounds rather intense, but it was at that time. Now, it must have been important for Matthew to record things the way that he did. And I guess how do we involve it in our life today? Well, you've all received invitations, and sometimes I'm no different than anybody else. Yeah, I get an invitation, and sometimes when you get it, I think, oh, that's great. That's really good. Or you'll get the invitation, oh, no, I don't want to go, but I think I have to be there. And I get a lot of those. It's open eye roll. And in my years in the Navy, and I left in a fairly senior position in the Navy, but in my years there, you'd get these things all the time. And there were two questions that I asked immediately was, who's going to be there and what do I wear? Because in the Navy, you can go through four uniform changes in one day. And so immediately, the intent of the invitation is completely lost and distracted by me asking those two silly questions. Because that will determine whether I'm going to enjoy myself or whether I need to be there. Now, you may do the same thing. But we build up these stories in our life that distract us from the invitation itself. Now, keep that in mind with this parable. We have been invited to the banquet of the Lord. This is a small taste, what you're going to share in a moment as we break bread and wine together. This is a small taste of the eternal banquet. And it is not an exclusive club that we belong to. This is open to everybody, no matter what you're wearing. Open to everybody. So the whole point of the gospel here today is firstly to celebrate and to remember that the eternal banquet of God is generous. God invites everybody into this. He forces nobody. Keep that in mind. Everybody is invited, but nobody will be forced. The closest thing I can get to aligning that with what's happened recently is that you will not have heard the Catholic Church say you must vote yes in the referendum. What the Church has said all along is that inform yourself on what this debate is about and make your decision in a clear conscience. The Church proposes. It does not impose. God invites everybody but forces nobody. The decision is always ours. And in the life, our spiritual life and our contribution in the Church, please try to remember that, as I have to as well. I am here because I want to be here. I am not here out of fear or out of guilt. I am here because I want to be here. And as I mature in my faith, I can actually say, I am here because I do want to be here. And more than that, I answer this invitation, I am here because I need to be here.